Been wanting to preach some lessons for strength for the journey. Thinking about what many of our church family have been through, wanted to do some lessons along those lines. Something that would be helpful to us to give us strength for the journey. And so I kept thinking about what passages of Scripture might help us in that regard. And I kept coming back to the 23rd Psalm. And so I want to invite you to join me as we look at a very familiar psalm, a beloved psalm that begins, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Have you ever thought about why this psalm is so beloved? Some have approached this study of the 23rd Psalm by pointing out that it points out the seven greatest sources of stress, but also God's antidote for those stressors. And perhaps that's one of the reasons why this psalm is so beloved. But the psalmist reveals to us a lot about God and a lot about the strength that he provides for his sheep. One of those greatest sources of stress is worry. And I believe this psalm addresses this stress of worry. I like this statement. We have a lot of jigsaw Christians today. Every time they're faced with a problem, they go to pieces. Well, perhaps we can identify with that at times. We all worry from time to time over finances, jobs, relationships, our health, you name it. But what is this psalm? What does God say to us through this psalm that'll help us with the stress of worry? Before we get into the psalm, notice three problems with worry. Number one, it's unhelpful. It's not helpful at all. It never accomplishes anything. It never solves anything. Ralph was head over heels in trouble, but doing very little to help himself. A friend of his advised, "Ralph, you've got two hands. Why don't you do something?" To which Ralph replied, "I am. I'm wringing them." But worry, wringing our hands, doesn't do anything for us. Someone said that worrying is like racing your car engine. It may make a lot of noise for some of us. It may create some smoke, but it doesn't get us anywhere. It may have been the same person that said that worry is like rocking in a rocking chair. It gives us something to do, but again, it doesn't get us anywhere. It's unhelpful. Worry never solved a problem, but it has created many problems. And it seems to make our problems even worse. So worry is unhelpful. Number two, worry is unreasonable. It's unreasonable. Winston Churchill is accredited with this statement. "When I look back on all these worries, I remember the story of the old man who said on his deathbed that he had a lot of trouble in his life, most of which never happened." Most of which never happened. I also read about a J. Arthur Rank. He was an English executive. He decided to do all of his worrying on one day of the week. And he chose Wednesday. So when something would come up that he would be concerned about, start worrying about, he said, "Well, I'm going to make a note, put this in the box, in his worry box, and I'll forget about it. Try to forget about it until Wednesday." Well, he got into that habit, and when he would open up his worry box on Wednesday, he began reading the notes that he had put in there. And what he found is that what had disturbed him the past 6 days, most of them were already settled. But he came to the realization that worrying about them wouldn't have helped anyway. It's unreasonable. It exaggerates our problems. It makes mountains out of molehills. To worry about something that you cannot change is useless. To worry about something that we can change is senseless. We should act on it when we can. It's unreasonable. Thirdly, worry is unhealthy. We know this. Our bodies are not made to worry. It's unnatural. When you worry, you get ulcers, headaches, insomnia, you name it. Our bodies were not made to worry. It makes us unhappy and unhealthy. And we're not surprised, I don't believe, when we learn that the old English word for worry comes from the root word, which means to strangle, to choke. And many of us know all too well how worrying makes us feel choked. It'll strangle the life out of us. But what is God's antidote to worry? Now let's look at the psalm together. The antidote to worry is to trust. Namely, to trust God. To trust God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. New Century Version states it like this: the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. How does God being our shepherd, how is that the antidote to stress, to the stress of worry? How is it that if the Lord is my shepherd, that I don't have to worry? We have to understand what shepherds do. Shepherds provide. A shepherd would provide for his literal sheep food and shelter and the basic necessities for his sheep. Remember, it's the psalmist David writing this psalm, and he has that background of being a shepherd himself. He knew exactly what a shepherd does. A shepherd provides. A shepherd protects. He defends against enemies, against harm. I like to read John chapter 10 as a companion passage to the 23rd Psalm because it describes Jesus as the good shepherd. And one of the things that Jesus says about the good shepherd, and he's speaking about himself, is that the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hireling will flee when trouble comes, but a good shepherd will lay down his life because a shepherd is seeking to protect his sheep. Shepherds guide their sheep. Shepherds lead sheep when they're confused, don't know which way to go. And so here are three things that shepherds do that David was fully aware of. But now he's saying, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord provides for me. The Lord protects me. The Lord guides me. And when we understand that's what shepherds do and that God is our shepherd if we're one of his sheep. Well, the Amplified Version states it like this: the Lord is my shepherd to feed, guide, and shield me. I shall not lack. If we truly believe that God's going to take care of us, then we truly don't have to worry. Isaiah 40 verse 11, spoken about God concerning Israel, says, he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young. So it's the same imagery, a shepherd with a sheep. But here, God is saying through Isaiah, that's how I care about you. That's how he cared about Israel. And folks, that's how he cares about you and me today. Paul would write, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. May not have been referring to the shepherd, but that's certainly the care that a shepherd, God as our shepherd, provides. He will meet our needs, not necessarily our greeds, but all of our needs. You see, worry is not only unhelpful, unreasonable, unhealthy, it's unnecessary. If God is our shepherd, worry says, I don't believe God will do what he says he will do. So the antidote to it is to trust God. It's easy to say. So how do we do that? How do we put that into action? How do we learn to trust God more? I want to suggest three things this evening. And the first one is to acknowledge Jesus as our Lord. To establish that he is our Lord. What does it mean to be Lord? In the New Testament, the word Lord refers to a master, an owner. And to acknowledge Jesus as our Lord means that he's in control of our lives. He's calling the shots in our lives. If he's not calling the shots, then he's not our Lord. If he's not our Lord, then he's not our shepherd. Simply put, to acknowledge Jesus as Lord means to be obedient to him, to follow him. Jesus asked, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" If I'm your Lord, that means you're going to be obedient to me. And how does this relate directly to this problem of worry? Well, worry is a control issue, isn't it? It's a control issue. The root behind all of our worries is a fear that we're not in control. It's an attempt to control what many times is uncontrollable. I love this statement. God is a help in trouble. That's Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is a help in trouble. But when in worry, we're on our own. We're taking it out of God's hands, if you will, putting it in our own. When we must realize that God is our help. He's our refuge and strength. Therefore, we must let God be in control, turn the reins and our worries over to Him. Which brings us to the second way of applying the antidote. And that's to begin praying about everything. Acknowledge that Jesus is our Lord. Submit to Him. But then begin praying about everything. Worry doesn't change anything. It makes matters worse. But God is the one who changes things. Someone said, whenever I'm worried, I have two options. I can panic or I can pray. We need to choose the second option. We need to pray about everything. Isn't that what Paul said? Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. But we have to replace that with something. Paul says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Don't worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Pray about all things. If it's big enough to worry about, it's big enough to pray about. I always think about 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. Cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Listen to the Amplified Version, which expounds and tries to cover the meaning of it. Casting the whole of your care, all of your anxieties, all of your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on Him. For He cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Cast all your cares upon Him. The problem is, most of us do the casting like we do fishing. We cast our worries and then reel them back in. But Peter is saying, cast. Again, as that Amplified Version states it, cast all your anxieties, worries, your concerns once and for all on Him. It means to cast and release, to give over those worries to Him. Whatever we're stressed about, upset about, irritated about, cast it all on Him because He cares for you. We could read a big paragraph in Matthew chapter 6. I'm only going to highlight part of it. What Jesus said about this matter of worry. He says, after all these things, and the context is the necessities of life, after all these things, what you eat and wear, the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all those things. Instead of worrying about these things, this is what Jesus says. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, those necessities of life, will be added to you. Someone paraphrased Jesus' instruction with these words, your heavenly Father already knows perfectly well what your needs are, and He will provide for them if you give Him first place in your life and live as He wants you to. So acknowledge Jesus, that He is Lord. We're submitting our lives to Him. Secondly, begin praying about everything instead of worrying. Thirdly, consider one day at a time. Take it one day at a time. Because that's what Jesus said in the very next verse in Matthew 6. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Jesus is essentially saying, don't open your umbrella until it starts raining. When you worry, you don't do anything about yesterday. You can't control to tomorrow. All you're doing is messing up today. In fact, E. Stanley Jones said, worry is the interest we pay on tomorrow's troubles. There was a tourist that visited a cathedral where an artist was painting a huge mosaic on one of the walls of the cathedral. It was a large wall. The artist had just begun. So the tourist spoke to him and said, aren't you worried about all that space you need to fill up and how are you ever going to finish it? Well, the artist replied simply that he knew what he could do in one day. And so what his routine was, he would come in and mark on the wall where he wanted to reach in that one day. He says, that's all I focus on. Just what I want to accomplish in that one day. I don't think about everything that I've got to do, but just what I need to do that day. And he realized, he says, that if I just take one day at a time, then one day the mosaic will be finished. Many times we worry about the big picture. We see everything that needs to be done or corrected or accomplished. If we focus too much on all that needs to be done, we can be overwhelmed and begin to worry. Whereas we need to learn from Jesus and from really the philosophy of this artist to just think about what can I do today? You see, worry is a day-by-day choice. Sometimes it's an hour-by-hour, moment-by-moment. And it's a choice that could be phrased with this question. Am I going to trust the shepherd, or am I going to try to handle it all by myself? That's what it boils down to. Am I going to trust the shepherd, or am I going to try to do it all by myself? If I'm in control, I've got a lot to worry about. But if God's in control, then I know He can handle it. And I need to trust Him. What's got you worried? What is it that causes you to fret and fuss, toss and turn, wondering, is it ever going to work out? The psalmist reminds us that God is our shepherd, knows His sheep. He knows what we're going through. He cares, and He wants us to trust Him. So I want to remind you of that paraphrase of Jesus' statement in Matthew 6. Your Heavenly Father, your shepherd, already knows perfectly well what your needs are, and He will provide for them if you give Him first place in your life and live as He wants you to. And remember, the antidote to worry is to trust. Is to trust God more. Acknowledge Jesus as Lord. Obey Him. Begin praying about everything instead of worrying about it. And then take one day at a time. I invite you to continue to study with me in the 23rd Psalm. May it provide as it has for many, since it was ever written, may it provide strength for our journey. Perhaps tonight, there's one or more that is ready to submit your life to the shepherd. You're ready to acknowledge that Jesus needs to be in control. After all, He's our Savior, and He'll be our shepherd. And if it's your desire tonight to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, or if there's something that you're struggling with that you're wanting to trust God more, but you're needing the helpful prayers of your church family, I know that this church family wants to pray with you. If you'll just let that be known, if you have a need tonight, please come right now as we stand and sing.